Harper Audio presents Sins of a Wicked Duke by Sophie Jordan, performed by Emily Gray. Sins of a Wicked Duke. She works to live. One would think the last place a beauty like Fallon O'Rourke could keep her virtue was in the Mayfair mansion of London's most licentious duke, the notorious Dominic Hale. Yet Fallon, who's endured nothing but lecherous advances since her father's tragic death, is perfectly safe there, disguised as a footman, beneath the notice of the dark-haired devil with his smouldering blue eyes and sinful smile. Fallon never imagines her secret will be discovered, but how long can her deception last when she begins to wish she is one of the many women traipsing in and out of the sinful rogue's bedchamber? He lives to sin. Most men envy the Duke, never suspecting his pleasure-loving ways are a desperate attempt to escape, however briefly, the pain of a past that's left him with a heart of stone. Only one woman can break down his defences. Only one woman can win his love, if she reveals her secret and succumbs to the sins of the wicked Duke. Prologue. Tears ran cold paths down Fallon O'Rourke's cheeks, but not a sound passed her chilled lips, not a sob, not a whimper. In the past fortnight, she'd bled all noise from her tears. Tucked into bed on the second floor of the Penwich School for Virtuous Girls, she held herself still as death and managed not to shatter into sobs. Her breath fanned before her in frothy clouds of white, one after another. Shivering, she huddled beneath the threadbare blanket and wondered if she would ever feel warm again. If a night would ever descend when her feet did not ache from chill. Oh, dar. Psst. Fallon lifted her head. Two girls crouched at the foot of her bed, blankets draped over their thin shoulders. She recognized them, not because they looked so very different from the other way-faced girls in starched pinafores to march the halls every day, but because they had watched her since her arrival with a curious intensity. Their wide, solemn eyes followed her everywhere, unlike the other girls who minded their affairs, busy about their own misery. And it was misery, a constant battle against the hunger, the cold, each other. She sat up, tense and instantly wary. A pair of older girls had jumped a smaller girl only yesterday, stealing her meagre ration. Yet she possessed nothing these girls could want, and at 13 she was bigger and heavier than most here. The dark-haired one looked as if the wind howling on the moors outside could knock her over. No doubt her rations were stolen with some frequency. Fallon shifted, rising up on her elbows. Almost in reminder, her back stung from the strap Master Brocklehurst had administered to her only today, punishment for daring to remove her cap from her head. Any more such beatings, and she would soon be as pitiable as the 40-odd girls battling for survival at Penwich. Wetting parched lips, she spoke. Yes? The oldest-looking of the pair, possibly older than Fallon even, blinked bright blue eyes, the only colour in her otherwise wan face. "We mean you no harm," she rounded the bed. "Come with us." Perhaps it was the kindness of her voice, or simply that she spoke at all, in a place where none seemed inclined or permitted to speak. Whatever the reason, Fallon swung her legs over the side of the bed. Slipping on her well-worn boots, she laced them up and followed the girls past cots of sleeping girls and downstairs. They crept through the kitchen, where cook slept, snoring loudly near a hearth of dying embers. Fallon focused on the back of the smaller girl, watching the rhythmic sway of her dark plait, thick as a man's wrist, bouncing against her back. A blast of frigid wind met Fallon when she stepped outside, slashing her cheeks. The older girl took her companion's hand and held out another for Fallon. She looked down at that hand, hesitating to take it in her own. The girl smiled, as though understanding. "My name is Evelyn," she shrugged. "Evie." She dipped her head toward the smaller girl.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?